I'd like to read a portion of the scripture, and it's taken from Acts chapter 14, verse 25 to verse 28. Now, the context of this particular verses is Apostle Paul and some of the people from the church. They went on a mission trip in Galatia, which is present Turkey, and then they are about to go back to their base church, which is at Antioch. And so, if I read from verse 24. What it says is, after that they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Aletheia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciple. Now, so it is a good practice if the church send a small team or whatever, whoever, to a mission ground. And then after the mission trip, it is a good practice for the pastors of the leader of the mission team to give a report to the church what has taken place and what was done. And so on that basis, I'd like to give you a mission report for China. But before we do that, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace upon our life. And we thank you for this opportunity to be able to go to other parts of the world to minister your gospel. So I pray, Father, Lord, as this presentation is being made, let the congregation be made aware of what is happening in the outside world, and you give them the heart of mission. So, Lord, that we will not just be so narrow in our minded, but we will expand our mind, expand our faith, and it's your desire, Lord, for your people to reach out to other nations and beyond the shores of their country. So I just pray for that impartation of that heart, Lord, for people of other people's group in the outside world, and that we will reach out to them, we will strengthen them, and we will strengthen one another. So we commit this session to you in the name of your Son Jesus, and we pray. Amen. All right, this 2 weeks ago, we make a mission trip to China, and there are two teams, one from Singapore and one from Perth. And so for the Perth team, we have four people, in particular, Brother William, Sister Doris, and also Pastor Irene and myself. So before I go to the first part of the presentation, I'll just get Brother William and Sister Doris and also Pastor Irene to come and just maybe share five minutes or so, each one, you know, what they sense and what is their impression of this particular mission trip. All right, first, Brother William.
Thank you for this opportunity to represent Zion Fellowship in this mission. And this mission is a teaching mission, which our pastor go there for a teaching class. And I find this is a very worthy trip, because indeed the Chinese churches need a lot of good teaching, because as through times, many other cults actually penetrating into it. So if we don't do our part, indeed, you know, they will have this bad influence. And but then, what they are lacking in teaching, they are not lacking in other things, because you can see that their desperation for the word, and you can see their hunger for the word, and you see their hunger for the Lord. And you can see the anointing of God in there. And I can tell you that Christianity is alive in China. You may not see the publicity and all that, but it's alive in China, because all these are done in an underground church, and you can see the people are really, you know, it's actually like spreading through word of mouth. It's not like you put a cross and say, come to my church, you know. And we are really can sense the anointing of God there. There's actually a lot of people are set free in the spirit. And to share my own reflection, when I'm young, when I accepted the Lord, I always have this question of God, if you are concerned about the people, what about the people of China, which have more than 1 billion people? It's because I'm a Chinese myself. And so this is an eye-opener, because through the years, through the development, you can see how China opened up, you know. And this question is answered within my generation, because God actually opened up China. And today we even have Chinese visitors in our congregation. It's impossible many, many years ago, but it's God have actually done. So it's great indeed our church has played a part, you know. It's this window of opportunity for us to reach out to them, to impart something to them. And even as we do it, as a ministry, I'm actually being minister, because we can see the way the Chinese congregation do, the passion they have for the Lord in their worship, and also, you know, in their servanthood, the way they serve the church, you know, is like everybody is so eager and enthusiastic. And we are also fortunate that it's not just Chengdu itself, the people, but it's actually from various, some of them different provinces, and they actually take the you know, pain and the time and energy to travel. You know, China is as big as Australia, and and if you want to travel, is not, although there's improvement, but cost to them is a big thing, you know, just to travel and just spend a few days together with us. So I would say that this trip is actually increased my faith in God, and I hope to bring that anointing into our church itself, that we are prepared, you know, when the Lord comes, that we are that faithful servant. And I pray that we will rise, because the times indeed are, you know, very close to the our Lord's second visitation. And if we need to be open and sense what God is doing, not just within our church or Australia, but what God is doing in the world. And if you hear the news recently, you know, the Pope said that Vatican recognize the state of Palestine. And today, if you hear the news, the Pope said that, announced that the president of Palestine, he is the angel of peace. So this is the man who come out declaring, you know, declaring. It's not just, hello, you're very good, you know, but it's telling the whole world. So, you know, things are moving very fast. And we can see the earthquake in every aspect, you know, whether you like it or not. Recently, there are so many earthquakes coming out of them. And just not forgetting, what do disaster affect? How it affect us? In my conversation with one of our sister, we are together in this car, and she said that she come to know the Lord through what? Through an incident because of the Sichuan earthquake, and because she met Christian worker within the church of Chengdu, and she did not accept the Lord immediately, but she can see the love of the Christian, you know, in this disaster area. And her heart continued, you know, the search for God. And ultimately, he actually accepted the Lord and really, really searched for this church, because he wanted to serve this church in Chengdu. That's all I have. I hope you are encouraged. Thank you.
Yeah, we really encourage. Actually, I was just thinking what to share, but Psalm 137 verse 5 and 6 reminded me, although Psalm 136 said, oh, the Lord will not forget Jerusalem. But the Lord placed my heart a few years ago when I first visited China, is that I will not forget China. So in China, there is a song, 我不能够忘记中国,如果忘记中国,让我的右手没有,让我的舌吞挡住我们的。 So this one put me to, okay, the song actually is that, if I don't love China, just like Psalm 137 say, that if I don't love China, or this one say, if I forget China, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember China, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not China above my chief joy. So that is what the psalm that it touches me, that China is part, I can say that in me that I felt that. But for this particular trip in Chengdu is that I see the Lord restoration, I see the Lord healing, not only spiritually, but also physically, and also reconciliation between their love with the Lord. Because we also listen to some of the sister and brother there, and their heart really crying to the Lord for the Lord restoration, and the Lord's compassionate heart was there. So it really touches us, and the most important is that how they serve the Lord and how the servanthood, like my husband was sharing, they really go all the way. Because the Chengdu sister brother there, they have to fetch the people from all different parts of China. Even despite the next day is the starting of the seminar, the teaching, some of them fetch the people at the middle of the night. By the time they get home, it's early the morning, 6 o'clock. Because some of them arrive by train, because there are a group of them, 30 over of them, but they arrive by train in different batches. So they all go all the way. And the next day, they are so early there, serving in the church, preparing water, drinks, be an usher, extending to every one of us. And really, I see how they really yearns for the Lord. And besides that, they also have to prepare for the examination. They have to exam. Because after pastor teaching, they have to take the exam within 1.5 days. And they're really doing well. And God, the Holy Spirit, really moving there. I just encourage that. Let us pray. Not only pray for China. Let us pray for where we came from. Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, also Australia. Australia need a lot of prayer. So let us, each and every one of us, pray for our own people here as well. Thank you. Praise God.
For a lady who has not studied Mandarin, Chinese, because I come from Malaysia, I study Malay and English. But I think that God has His purpose. You know, sometimes when we look back, especially when you look back, how the Lord guides and leads your life is very different. And I think that why I'm, you know, I can speak Mandarin, I think it's because God has prepared me from young. You know, where I am, people use Mandarin, you know, and I watch Mandarin show. I listen to Mandarin song. So I believe that this is what the Lord is preparing for time like this. Now, I wanted to share about this faithfulness of God. On the day that I arrived, the first thing when I went to the custom and the immigration, we had this immigration card where you fill up everything and then they're supposed to tear it and they're supposed to put the other side onto your passport. And as I was walking out, taking the passport, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, check your passport. And I looked, hey, I said, where's my departure card? And the next minute, pastor came. I look at him, he got a departure. I said, why? I don't have the departure card. So I had to turn back to that same guy and said, excuse me. I said, you have not given me a departure card. And then he looked at you like nothing. Then he go and look. He just looked through, tear it and give it to you. But without the departure card, I think when I leave China, they can make things very difficult for me because partly I'm foreigner. So even though there's a stamp, but if they want to make, I mean, according to the card, when I read it, they said that please keep this card carefully because without that, you may have problem leaving China. So this is the first time that I stepped into China. And when I say first time, the day that I arrived and it happened. And then when we collected our luggage as we were walking, and here, lo and behold, there's one lady pushing the trolley and hit right up onto my ankle. Then I said, Lord, I said, there's something more to it. I said, no, I'm not going to accept it. But I said, Lord, you are more than able to, you know, deliver me. And the Lord gave me a scripture. If you have the Bible, could you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18? And the Lord gave me this scripture. And this is the scripture that I hold on right through. And of course, you know what happened later on. I want to talk, it's basically the faithfulness of God. It said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. And I'm saying all this is because God is so faithful. All right, he's so faithful. And not only that, one day before we start the seminar, we had a dinner and had a steamboat dinner. But out of the blue, I was eating, everything was fine. We were having fellowship, just sitting there. 45 minutes later, I felt something funny and I threw up 5 times. Throw everything, all right, until nothing comes up. And I don't understand, but then I was asking a lot. I knew it's a warfare. But then, you know, what was resonant in my spirit is that the Lord, I just felt that the Lord has protected me because it could be something that I'm taking in that can cause a stomach ache, all right? Yeah, but I knew that the Lord is there. And the next few days, I ran a fever. On a Sunday, while we were ministering, I ran a fever. And the ministry was great there because the anointing of God was there to break and destroy every yoke of bondage. There were so many demonic manifestation, you know, so many confrontation of the demonic. So many word of knowledge comes, you know. And so, this is God's doing. And God is so faithful. And all I can share is that, like we all say, not because we go and bless them, they bless us back. We see the way the hospitality they extended to us, the love that they have for us, for the teachers, you know, especially ministers. And nothing, you know, I mean, if I were to think about the society, I mean, the present place that we are, like, you know, in a country that is so full of everything. And yet, you know, I just felt the Lord said, I want you to stand up there and tell them, say, I salute you because for them, for their faithfulness in still serving the Lord in such a difficult situation, you know, circumstances, but yet you see them moving on. But of course, there were heartbreak too, you know, because the Lord wanted to minister to them. And some, they know they have taken the plow, they will not turn back. But yet the journey is difficult. Please keep them in prayer. You know, they are lovely people. They are so fervent for the Lord. It could have easily, you know, give up. But, and I spoke to some pastors, you know, this lady pastor said, can I not be just a normal housewife, go around taking my children, I've got 2 children, to school. But why is it I'm bearing, you know, the church? I said, this is just a season until God raised up men to take over. And the ladies are on fire. Amen. But I'm not saying the men is not. They are too. But, you know, the ladies, the way they love the Lord, I wish I had their passion. Amen. But to God be the glory. He's faithful. And I came back towards the end, right towards the end. I came back with a ear infection. On the day when we arrived into Perth, oh, I was crying to the Lord. I said, Lord, please. But the Lord protected me. And praise God, I'm getting better. Amen. I can hear you all now. Amen.
Am I back on the mic? Thank you. All right, now we're going to right click this, the PowerPoint slide. Thank you. I'm going to do a presentation of this mission trip. I'm going to do it in 2 parts. First is a slide presentation. We are going to go through the slides with you and just going to give you some explanation of things. Picture paints 1,000 words. And then later on, we're going to show you a video clip of some of the worship in praise and worship sessions in China. Right, so first thing is a slide presentation. Now, first, I'd like to talk about the background of our mission work. Take note that there are 2 mission works that we are doing to date. The first mission work was the China mission work, and this started in the year 2008, which is about 7 years ago. And this is in partnership with a Chinese church in Singapore. We call it Cornerstone Community Church, Chinese congregation. So we are collaborating with them, and we are, you know, doing it as a joint venture, so to speak. And then the second mission work that we have is what we call the Indonesian mission work, and this was started in the year 2012, about 3 years ago. And this is still at the infancy stage, and we want to see how it develops. Next click, please. Thank you. Next, I'd like to talk about the mission approach. How do we approach mission? Our approach to mission is as follows. We don't touch and go. Many of the work that perhaps quite a few other churches are doing, they just go and then they preach a good sermon and then they just leave the place. There's no continuity in the relationship. So we believe in the continuity of relationship, building trust and relationship with the pastors and the leaders in those local churches. And our main trust is mainly in teaching, and also because we are part of this Zion Fellowship International, we are also helping them to cast a vision of attaining spiritual Mount Zion. For those who have been long with us, you know what it means to attain spiritual Mount Zion. But for those who are new with us, you may not quite know, but throughout the time, if you spend more time with us, more than a year, slowly, you will progressively begin to see this vision. This is a very, very big vision. And this is something I believe that is very unique to this particular denomination, Zion Fellowship. So we also like to impart some of these things to them. What is the journey of Israel? The journey of Israel is also a journey of a Christian. It's also a journey of a church. And it kind of provides a roadmap. Perhaps where you are at spiritually, but eventually we want to attain spiritual Mount Zion, which is full maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is more than that. It is meant for the last day church. There are many, many great things that are in store for the last day church. So this is not the time to speak about this, but just to let you know that we will also like to cast this vision to the churches in China, or other churches that we are affiliated with. The next slide, please. Thank you. Now, first, like to talk about the China demographics. As you know, China has a population of 1.35 billion people and going into 1.4. It is considered to be the most populous nation in the world. And then next, just take note that there are also many ethnic groups, but most of the Chinese that you see is they're Han. They are 91.6%. Now, most of the Chinese that you see in this congregation, 95% of them are Han, with the exception of some. And someone comes from the Zhuang ethnic group, and then the rest of the ethnic group make up 7.1%. And in fact, there are a total of 56 ethnic group, and some of them are the Uyghur. As you can see, who are the Uyghur? These are some of the faces. This is a typical look of the Uyghur. And then you also have the Hui. And these groups are predominantly Muslim. Now, for the Zhuang, they have a folk religion. This is how a typical Zhuang look like. Now, as for Han, you don't need a photograph because you are seeing one right in front of you. All right, this is Han, or many of the Hans, how they look like. All right, so I didn't put up a photograph there. Now, in terms of religion, the predominant religion is Buddhist, 18%, and then followed by Christians, 5%. But Christianity is the fastest growing faith in the country of China. I think in time to come, it can go as far as 30, 40, 50, or even beyond 50%. So we are seeing tremendous growth in China in terms of Christianity. And then you have 2% Muslim. And these are most of them are in the western provinces. And also we have a folk religion coming from the different ethnic groups, and 22%. And then for the rest, most likely they are unbelievers, and 53%. So this is a makeup of the different segments of their faith. Next slide, please. Now, when China went into communism in 1949, Chairman Mao actually sought to eradicate Christianity totally from that nation. And as you know, in history, many, many rulers in the past of different nations always sought to eradicate Christianity, but they were proven to be unsuccessful. And for China in particular, Mao, it was totally wrong. The current Christian population is 70 million people. That is at least 3 times the whole population of Australia. And based on current growth trend, China is going to be the biggest Christian nation by 2025. And it's going to attain a Christian population of 160 million, all right, if you project based on current trend. So Mao has been proven to be totally wrong. Next slide. Thank you. Now, next I'd like to talk about the role of China in the last days. And for us to understand this, we must understand the timetable, the overall timetable of God's big harvest. There is a particular scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 4. And it's a very a verse that perhaps looks very insignificant. And this scripture talks about the king, the temple of Solomon, and how God instructed them to build a laver, and below the laver there were 12 oxen. And then the scripture says that there were 3 oxen looking towards the north, and then 3 towards the west, 3 towards the east, and then 3 towards, sorry, south, and then 3 towards the east. And this is the description of the particular, that particular furniture. Now, normally when you describe anything by convention, we say north, south, east, west, and then Chinese also has a way of saying things, but never in that sequence of north, west, south, east. Now, this is actually a prophetic statement, which many of you may not realize. A prophetic statement in the sense that the first big harvest of the soul is going to come from the north. That is sequence number one. Followed by the west, followed by the south, followed by the last wave is going to be the east. Now, if you look at church history as a whole, I'm not talking about sporadic spreading of the gospel. I'm talking about the big harvest. And Christianity, all we know, come from Jerusalem. All right, and when Apostle Paul went to evangelize the Gentile nations, he actually moved northwards. Now, he was actually about to turn to the right, going to the east, but the Holy Spirit forbid him and said that you are supposed to go to the north. And as a result, the first few hundred years of Christianity actually sweep through north in the continent of Europe, if you study church history. And then later on, if you remember, a few hundred years later, it actually spread because there was a migration from people in Europe to the what they call North America. And then later on, Christianity sprout out in the northern continent of North America. Then later on, many hundreds of years later, then you have the what they call, in fact, it is, you witnessed this in the last maybe 40, 50 years ago, there was a big harvest in the South American. So predominantly it has gone to the west. And then later on it came to the continent of Africa. There were hundreds and hundreds of millions of Africans being saved. Then the last wave before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the last wave of the big harvest is going to come from the east. One more click, please. Thank you. And by that I mean Asia, including Australia, because Australia is, even though it's a Western country, but it is located in the eastern part of the world. So the last harvest is going to come from Asia, including Australia, and also the other Middle East country. And then the very, very last country that's going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in big numbers is going to be Israel. Now, this is already prophesied in the Bible. You look at all the prophetic book in the Bible, right? This is already clearly stated. So the last, the very, very last nation that is going to receive the Lord Jesus is going to be Israel. They couldn't cry out to the Lord. That's perhaps days or weeks before Jesus comes back. So this is how the gospel, you know, the overall scheme of the big harvest going in a anti-clockwise, right? North, west, south, east. So, in terms of that, if you look at the prophetic calendar, we are coming into the last days. And for China in particular, the role, there is this heartbeat in China. And in fact, God actually revealed to 2 or 3 groups of these Christian groups, big groups in China, and gave them heart and passion to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. I'm going to elaborate more in the next slide. Next slide, please. Now, what that means is going to raise up 100,000 missionary. Their plan is to raise at least 100,000 missionary from Chinese, from the Chinese people, and they're going to bring the gospel to the nations along the Old Silk Road. And these countries along the Old Silk Road are this in this circle here. The countries like Kazakhstan, like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, and then eventually Iraq, and then Jordan, Lebanon, and then eventually Lebanon, and eventually back to Israel. And you look at all these countries are very, very steep in three religions. One is Islam, the next one is Hinduism, and then the last is Buddhism. Now, if you look at Islam, even within China itself, if you look at all the western provinces around here, they are very, there's a spiritual stronghold of Islam. Right, so you find a lot of those people, just some of those what they call pictures that I show you, the Uyghurs and all these people, they are very, very steep in Islam. In fact, it's in their culture itself. And then the very western province of China, which is Tibet, they are very, very steep in Buddhism. So these are the stronghold that's going to break. And once this stronghold is broken, then it will penetrate. And then they themselves, once they're evangelized, they themselves can become the very effective evangelism to reach out to all these nations, you know, very steep in Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam. So now, the best way to kind of let you know about this particular movement very strong in China is actually look at first, perhaps, YouTube. 3 minutes a slide on the movement called Back to Jerusalem movement. All right. Could someone switch off the front lights, please, so that we have a better clarity view of these video clips from YouTube. Thank you.
Waiting to be set free. The whole creation is groaning as it waits to be released from bondage and corruption. Nature is even turned on itself because of the effects of sin brought on by mankind. This world that we live in today is nothing like the perfection that God created in 6 days. God did not give us disease or plague us with disasters, earthquakes or tsunamis. God did not give us cancer or AIDS, the flu or the common cold. They are all the result of a broken world, ultimately a sin. Our bodies and everything else in this world are decaying because of sin. It is a slavery that no part of creation can escape. The universe is crying out for the Creator. It is spiraling into a black abyss of chaos, and there's only one answer. There's only one Savior. There's only one hope, and His name is Jesus. Christ is not His last name, it is His title as the Holy and Anointed One of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus broke the chains of sin. Jesus gave us freedom. Jesus gave the world hope of salvation. All creation rejoiced because true freedom had arrived. Through His blood on the cross, Christ has made peace between God and man and is reconciling all creation to Himself. Today, God is moving like a mighty rushing wind in China. The communist country that tried to stamp out the good news is falling to its knees in one of the largest revivals this world has ever seen. These Chinese know what it's like to suffer in the name of Jesus Christ, and they have been tested by the fires of persecution. They have been beaten and imprisoned, separated from their families, shed their blood, sweat, and tears in hopes of one day being reunited with their Creator. The baton of the Great Commission has now been handed to them, and they call it Back to Jerusalem. This is the vision that has lasted for generations in China and has been sealed in blood. It is the vision of the largest church in all history, a church who will not compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. back to Jerusalem is the vision of the Chinese church to take the good news into the heart of the enemy's territory, in Eastern Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. This is not some idea for tomorrow. This is a vision from God that is being carried out today. Just think, the world's most populated country is rising up to take the gospel into the darkest, most dangerous places on earth. Is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ from the borders of China, in the very heart of darkness, to the city where it all began, back to Jerusalem.
Right, thank you. I'd like to continue with the presentation, so could you go back to the slide, please? Thank you. Yep. Next slide, please. Thank you. All right, the mission team, as I said, from two countries, from Singapore, there's a team of about 10 people, and then from Perth, a team of 4 people. Next, I'd like to talk about the types of churches in China. There are basically two types of churches. One is what we call the three self churches, and these are government approved. What do you mean by three self churches? The self-governing is first, and self-financing, and self-propagating. Now, even though these are the three principles that every church in every part of worship adopt, but the way that is structured in China is they want these churches to have their, what we call, loyalty and allegiance to the communist government of China. So, in their three self is in that sense, all right? So, they don't want any foreign influence from any other countries, especially the Western nation, and therefore, for you to operate openly and officially as a church, you are supposed to become under that particular umbrella, and then you are supposed to pledge certain allegiance, and there are also certain guidelines what you can do and what you cannot do. And these are considered three self churches, government approved. And also there are certain things that you cannot preach, you cannot encroach on politics, so on and so forth. So very, very strict guidelines. Under those strict guidelines, they give you a license, and the pastors and the leaders are registered, and people can openly go to some of these churches. And some of these churches are very huge, big churches. The only thing is, it's a watered-down version of the gospel. And then the next thing is, of course, the underground churches. The underground churches, they have the liberty, you know, to preach and to teach whatever they see fit. And when I say underground churches, I mean they worship in secrecy, and if they are caught, they are nabbed, the leaders can be kind of interrogated, can be imprisoned, can be beaten up, and so on and so forth. Now, in fact, the church that we went to, this particular Chengdu church, the pastors and the leader, they went out to a remote town to minister to another ethnic group. And then as a result, they were actually arrested by the government authority, and they were imprisoned for about 10 days. And then they were later released, and they were given warning not to go back to that particular town again. And then so they returned to their base town of Chengdu. So things like this do happen. But for foreigners, people like us, even though I've been there 7 years, have not been arrested, you know, thank God for His protection. But if we are arrested, at the most is they will just ask you a few questions, and they, if they realize that you come from a foreign country, most likely they will just deport you and ask you to go, and then there will be a black mark registered against your name. Next time when you need to go back, most likely you will not get the visa. Depends on how serious is the offense. There, thank you. Next point, please. Thank you. All right, so for that reason, we have to kind of take security precautions when we go to China. So, for instance, when we go to China, we all have different names. I don't call myself Philip. I call myself by another name. So, it's my wife. She's not known as Irene. And William and Doris, also not known by their normal names. That's why when I write to another Chinese couple in another Chinese nation about China, you say, are you Philip or are you someone else? They were a bit confused. This is because of security. It's better you use another name, and so you can kind of minimize your exposure. And then the next thing, is we meet underground, in the sense that meet in secrecy. And if initially, last time when we first started this, we actually met in a place in a very remote town, in a remote hotel. And then we locked ourselves up there, and then we, you know, preach and teach in that particular room. And we would normally cover up all the windows, all the curtains are drawn. And for windows, you normally have insulation material padded, and then so as to absorb all the noise, all the worship, sound, so that there won't be any sound that is kind of being dispersed, so that we do not attract unnecessary attention. And even at one time, when we worship in a particular room like this in a remote town, we also have to station a particular person about 100 meters away near the entrance of the hotel or the resort area. And if the government official come in, and they would give us at least a warning, so we have a 5-10 minutes of advanced warning, and then we will switch the mode. So we become a music school. Someone will go up and then teach them music, so we will begin to sing songs. And then we have spare books available, you know, say that we are teaching this congregation to sing songs. So these are some of the backup plans that we have. But as after about 6-7 years, I noticed that the security measures that we take are not as stringent as before. Now the country is opening up, they are more relaxed, but still some of the basic security measures have to be taken. So we have to be also very careful. All right, so you have to take security measures to protect yourself. Next point, please. Thank you. Now, this one more click. This mission trip, we conduct a 3-day, very, very intensive teaching for the pastors and leaders. So it's only for the pastors and the leaders, and they come from 5 provinces. So you have about 6 or 7 churches coming from 5 provinces, and they're coming from Guangxi, Shanghai, Inner Mongolia, Jiangsu, and Sichuan. And then we also, I also speak in one of their Sunday services, has got bigger people, bigger audience, about 250 of them. But for the leaders, teaching session is only for confined to the pastors and the leaders. And then they will go, in turn, go back to their churches, and then they will encourage their leaders, and then they will go out to evangelize. Now, just to give you a brief geography of all these provinces where they came from. Next slide, please. Thank you. There's going to be a map of China. The 5 provinces, as I said, coming from the north, which is Inner Mongolia, here in this part of China. And then the other one is Jiangsu, which is the eastern part, and Shanghai as well. The biggest city in China. This is the far east. And then Guangxi. We used to have another one from Guangdong, but this year they did not join us. So in the south, and also in the center part of China, Sichuan. As I said, the remaining stronghold would be this area. This Xinjiang and Qinghai are very strong, very steep in Islam. And then Tibet is very steep in Buddhism. So if we break through this, I would say that you begin to be more effective in evangelizing to those countries along the Silk Road who are steeped in Buddhism and Islam. All right, so next slide, please. Thank you. If you look back at the demographics, Australia only has a population of 23 million people, but China has a population of 1.35 billion. So to raise a team of, or to raise 100,000 missionary is not impossible to reach out to these countries along the Silk Road. And then this particular training center is located in the Sichuan province, and is has a population of 81 million people. And the city itself, the metropolitan itself, Chengdu, in this province of Sichuan, has got 14 billion people. And if you compare it with Perth, Perth only has a population of about 2 million. So it's 7 times. This city itself is 7 times much bigger than the city of Perth in terms of population. Next slide, thank you. This is a view of how the city of Chengdu look like. You have the old low-rise building and also the high-rise building which have been built maybe the last 10, 20 years. Next slide, please. Thank you. What happened? Hang. All right. Good, thank you. Now, you can see that the city of Chengdu is growing at very, very fast pace. Like many other cities, the initial economic development were focused on the coastal city, but now this development has actually gone inland. As you know, Chengdu is a Sichuan province is an inland, Chengdu is an inland city. They have also caught up very, very fast. You have lots of high-rise apartments and high-rise offices and shopping complexes, getting very modern. And this particular freeway that we are trying to cross is 16-lane freeway, one-way, right? 8-lane this direction flowing in this direction and 8-lane flowing in the other direction. So 16-lane we have to cross just to go to across to the other part of the building. And then also they have a quite a fairly modern mass rapid transport system, underground train, and we are quite impressed with the cleanliness. Next slide, please. Thank you. All right, now let's talk about the church building. As I said, last time we used to go to a remote town, a hotel, lock ourselves up in a room, but then slowly we also went to another place in the southern part of China, and then we used to do it, the training, in a particular big villa that is located within a big factory complex, and this was owned by a fairly rich, what they call Hong Kong Jew, who actually purchased that piece of property in China. And because he was a Christian, he allowed the Christian group to hold that meeting. But lately, the last 2 years, we begin to hold the training in the church in Chengdu. And they actually have purchased a building. And this is one of the floors. Is they have bought a particular floor and have converted it into a church building. This is how an outside looks like. I will not point to you which particular floor it is for security reasons. We just want to play it safe. But it's one of these floors they have bought by God's grace. They were able to buy that portion of the building with some assistance and support from overseas. Next slide, please. Now, inside the building, how does it look like? Next slide, thank you. Now, maybe we switch on the front portion here, just the front, and then give better clarity for those who are... Yeah, thank you. So this is how the inside looks like. You have the sanctuary. This is a worship platform. And then you have a partition. You have a cross. You have a partition wall. And then once you slide the partition wall, it becomes... you can see the baptism pool, which is located above the floor level. And also, once it's covered up, it's used as a communion table. So this is how the sanctuary looks like. As you go into the church, you will see 5 banners. First one is spreading the gospel, and then about love, about the Bible, so on and so forth. So you see 5 banners, and this is pastor's wife leading worship. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now, what about the spiritual needs in China? What are the main spiritual needs? The first one, I would say, one point up, thank you, is a lack of teaching. Because China has been a communist nation since 1949, and for about 30 to 40 years, they have closed the country from any, they would not allow any foreigners to go in. So it's a closed country for many, many decades. As a result, during that period, the churches underwent tremendous persecution from the communist government. And so there was this lack of teaching. That even though there was teaching, but there was this lack of teaching from other countries, and therefore, right now, next point please, right now they actually, they were looking for strong teaching, the meat of God's Word, because what they have received to date, perhaps are very elementary and intermediate, so they are looking to grow in the meat of God's Word. And then third point, the third area is also they are very new to the things of the Holy Spirit. And most of the churches that are there, they are of perhaps of Baptist background or Methodist, the kind of denomination. So when come to Pentecostal and charismatic teaching, they were somehow quite new to those things. And therefore, they want to also learn and grow into the things of the Holy Spirit. And then the last point is that whenever foreign nations go and evangelize, normally it's just touch and go, you know, they do not provide the continuity in building relationship and discipling. So these are the four main areas of needs in China. And then I want to just share about how this Chengdu churches came to be founded. It was actually founded by a European couple coming from one part of Europe. I'm not going to reveal the country, but it's a European couple. Actually, the man actually graduated from a medical school, and then he decided he have a heart for China and the Chinese-speaking nation. And so he left his profession, he married a nurse, and then both of them went to China and wanted to spread the gospel, wanted to plant churches. Initially, the doors were closed, and then so they went to Taipei, Taiwan, and then they planted a few churches. And then after that, when China opened up again, in the sense that they allow all the big businesses to come in, foreigners to come in and set up businesses, so he went in again and he set up this internet cafe. And in the internet cafe, you know, there are a lot of young people that go and hang out there. And then after a few months, he come to know them. Then he begin to identify who are the ones that he can trust. So he invited a group of them whom he can trust to his home for a meal. And then begin to share the gospel to them. And then many of them received the Lord Jesus. And then they begin to form life group, self group. And then that life group grew into many life groups. And eventually it became a local church. So he handed that church to this young couple. And then this became the Chengdu church. And then he went to another city to do the same, to plant churches. But recently he was not able to stay in China because of visa issues and problem. And then he had to go back to another Chinese-speaking nation. So this is how this particular Chengdu church, you know, came about. But there were other churches from other parts of China which are also associated with this this particular network that we are in. I will not mention them, but next time I will tell you a bit more story of how these various churches are founded. So the next thing is, what are the things that we did in China? Next slide, thank you. Of course, teaching, very intensive teaching and preaching over 3 days, morning, afternoon, night, morning, afternoon, night. And in the afternoon, there are two sessions. And on top of that, we have also got other things organized for them. So we have teaching and preaching over these 3 days, and I have interpreter. I'm not able to teach or preach in Mandarin, in Chinese, but I have three interpreter. One is Sister Ruby. She is the Pastor Samuel wife from Singapore. And then the other one is Pastor Samuel from Singapore. He is the pastor of the Chinese congregation. And then another backup interpreter they're trying to train up is from their congregation. So next slide, please. Thank you. We also had workshop and practices. What we taught them was, the last year it was the gifts of the Father. This year it was a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so after we taught them on the 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit, they break into small groups, 3 or 4, and then they begin to have practice, and then they have discussion. Next slide. And then, of course, there will be also time of impartations of a spiritual gift through the laying of hands, as you can see in this particular slide. And next slide, thank you. And then there's praise and worship sessions conducted by the different churches. Next slide. And then you have also word of prophecy and encouragement given to the groups. And then the time of ministry. And during the time of ministry, because the anointing of God was so strong, next slide, there were a few people who were involved in occultic practices in the past before, and then there was some demonic manifestation. So we begin to cast out, you know, those demons, and then these people, various people, were set free. All right, we praise the Lord for that. And then next slide. And then on top of that, we have examination. And then after examination, we announce who are the, you know, three, the best, what do you call, get top marks in the examinations, and we award prizes to them. And then some students also share at the end of those sessions what they learn in this particular teaching, in this training school. Next slide, please. And then, of course, at the end of the session, we have a question and answer session. I think that's all. All right. I'm going to the last part of the presentation. I'm going to show you a video clip of some of the worship sessions that were done in that particular city. Just wait for a few moments. Thank you. Alright, can I have the lights on, please? Thank you. So that's all we have for this presentation. So from this, what they call video clips and this slide presentation, I hope you have a few of the churches in China. But it's, of course, nothing, I mean, it's best that we go yourself personally and experience, you know, ourselves. So we're going to give you more updates next time when we go. I was trying to ask the pastors to bring me to the group that they are trying to reach out, the community that they are trying to reach out. And he said that in time to come, next year, if I can spare another 6 days, he said that he will bring me to those places that they outreach And then we can see what they are doing in the community and how they reach out to the other ethnic groups. So we'll see. And I hope actually eventually to open up a bit more to more people to participate. But as you know, Chinese is the Chinese authority are quite sensitive over such matters. So we have to strike a balance in the sense that we cannot have too big a group. Otherwise, we will endanger ourselves in terms of security. So that's all. And yeah, that's all we have. Yeah, and Pastor Irene, like to just add in a few
talking
things.
About this back to Jerusalem, because the last time I think I spoken to somebody who are in this movement in I think in Perth, they said that they wanted to raise 100 thousands missionaries, but apparently that some of them they have raised up couple, but then couple of them is quite a lot. But these missionaries, they must be willing. You know what they are given. All of them are only given one-way tickets. You know, they will say goodbye to the families, you know, some singles to their families, because they say when they go, they're not sure whether they will be coming back. So this is how passionate and how zealous they are for, you know, really bringing the gospel back, spreading the gospel. And that is exactly what they are doing, you know. Just one-way ticket, and they say goodbye. They can be not heard for years, you know. So, yeah, this is how, it's very encouraging to see how the way they pour up for their, you know, for this gospel, you know, and all these people that they come, you can see that they travel for, last time they traveled for 2-3 days on the train, and some of them don't even sleep.
All right, let's stand and close your prayer. Father, we thank you for, once again, for the privilege to an opportunity to go to other nations to share your word. As we share the word, Lord, we are also being ministered to, because we see their passion, their zeal, and how they dare to put down their life, Lord, for your kingdom and for your glory. So I pray that for that impartation of that commitment and dedication, Lord, unto you, for the complete allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that kind of spirit to come among some of us and many of us, that we may be able to be so passionate and so zealous for you, and at the same time you grant us wisdom. So Lord, we just want to surrender ourselves to you. Lord, you have purchased us with your blood. Lord, our life belongs to you. So help us to just realize, Lord, how precious and how much you have done for us, and that we the things that we are doing here, Lord, is nothing compared with some of the sacrifices that the people make out there. So help us to appreciate and help us to treasure these things in life. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we all pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and do join us for a time of fellowship, coffee and tea. Thank you.